Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes?
Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Sabres, Penguins tonight. It's a black and red event from a Buffalo standpoint. We look forward to that. Shayna Goldman is with us from The Athletic right now to go well beyond tonight's matchup, starting with the hot spot for drama, Canada's left coast. What do you think?
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. It couldn't happen in a better market, honestly. And it's so funny because you have a different situation a couple days ago where there's potential beef between Marchand and Pastrnak, and a rumor comes out and they squash that in seconds. And the Canucks could have handled this situation completely different. They didn't. It spiraled out of control. And it's so funny to me, like that, Ed, the no soap operas, just hockey. Every time one of these situations comes up, it just pops right into my head because this is everyone's favorite soap opera right now. And while sometimes you can keep that to the locker room, right? The Canucks are not doing that. And at this point, the mistakes they're making, it almost looks like a team that just has internal beef that they don't know how to squash, and it's dragging them down.
Now, we talked about Elias Pettersson, JT Miller, a ton, right? And Pettersson, like every team should call on him if he's available. But then there was the rumor that the Rangers offered Zibanejad straight up to the Canucks as well for JT Miller. That didn't seem to have happened, or the Canucks didn't really want to deal with it. But now I'm thinking, well, is JT Miller the odd man out? Is he the one to get moved? So if you had to handicap this whole thing, do you... Not who you would want to acquire, but like seeing the whole thing. Who do you think gets moved, Miller or Pettersson? Because I'm starting to think it's JT Miller that gets moved out of this whole saga.
Okay, I'm putting on my tinfoil hat. I think it was always JT Miller. Like, okay, draft day, he pulls out the yellow pad and it's always Vontae Mack. It was always JT Miller. Thing is, that organization, the way things leak out of there is very intriguing. The information that always seems to trickle out, and sometimes they're more worried about the leaks than the information themselves. If I was a smart organization in their position, knowing that, I would be planting stories left, right, and sideways and letting things leak out. Let everybody think that we want to keep JT Miller and Elias Pettersson is on the block, because then you might have teams going, wait a second, is JT Miller the one that we should be keeping? Because look at the energy he brings and look at this, that, and sideways. So now all of a sudden the interest generates for Miller when on a good day, you're selling him for pennies on the dollar with that contract. I don't care how productive he is. There's the questions of whether he can truly be a 2C. Look, they had to acquire Elias Lindholm last year to play center for him. It just so happened that Miller remembered that he could play center when that trade happened to keep his 2C position. This is a player whose production year after year after year is so pumped up by the power play. And while he has stretches where he can play great two-way defense, that is not the norm. So I would be doing everything in the world to be amping up the interest for him, because he's 10 out of 10 the player you move every day of the week.
We've talked about this a lot. So the Canucks have one win in the last seven. They're a point out of the wild card, like big deal. Like it's very, very, very early still in the season, ample opportunity to recover. But do you think we're getting like super close to this being resolved or changed in Vancouver?
I think if you change it in season, it's honestly a mistake. I don't think you're going to get the right return because, one, we know the cap is going up this summer. Two, teams need the opportunity to clear the cap space if they're going to take on these deals, right? So I would wait till the summer, and you're selling at a total low point right now. My hot take is that the Canucks should not be thinking about the playoffs right now. I know Quinn Hughes is having a legendary season, right? He's one of their greatest players ever. He is an MVP candidate every day of the week, could win a Hart Trophy tomorrow. But we have seen teams where you have one player doing the most and it's not enough. Think of the year Taylor Hall was in the Hart Trophy conversation. The Devils were literally nothing. Or Nathan MacKinnon dragging his team along. Connor Hellebuck, Igor Shesterkin. We have seen this before. So while it's hard to say, okay, this is the year to throw away, at this point, I don't look at the Canucks and go, you're going to do any damage against these Western Conference teams. And it's not just because they've lost them recently, like they did to the Kings, like they did to the Jets. It just feels like they truly don't have it to go up against the best in the West. So I would be waiting till the summer. I would be trying to get any value that you can out of this team. And I would be waiting till the summer till teams can really position themselves. You can make a hockey trade, not a desperation trade, and just reload for the next season, because at this point, it just feels like a wash. And I know teams just want to get into the playoffs. There's playoff revenue to consider, and you never know what can happen, but I just don't think that's enough this year.
Right.
You talk about the playoffs, and the race in the East is kind of crazy right now. The Sabres are 10 points out, but they're only 6 points back of the New York Rangers. And with a win tonight, who knows, maybe you'd be 4 points back of the Rangers. And
well, they would be, because the Rangers aren't playing, but that's just me stating the obvious. So.
Yes, but I'm also stating the obvious. With 2 points, you're 6 points back. With 2 points, you'd be 4 points back. Like, that's easy math right there. But I picked the Rangers because I think the Rangers will be either close or in a wild card spot when the season's over. So that's the team I'm focusing on, right? I'm not looking at whoever's leading the race right now. I'm looking at whoever I think will get there by the end of the year. Do you think the Rangers have enough now and have shown enough the last little bit that they can be the second wild card team, or even maybe the first wild card team when it's all said and done?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it's tough because you look at it and you go, they don't deserve it after the last 2 months unless you have this miraculous turnaround. But we've seen it before. You look at the Oilers last season, you look at the Blues the year that they won the cup on January 1st. They were last in the Western Conference, second to last in the league. So there is hope if you're the Rangers. But I think it all relies on the fact that they have elite talent that maybe some of the other teams in that postseason picture don't have, right? Mm-hmm. You look at a team like the Montreal Canadiens. I wonder if they would sell at the deadline. And yes, they have up-and-coming players, but do they have an Igor Shesterkin or an Adam Fox or an Artemi Panarin who can snap their fingers and turn a game on its head? Like, that's why you want elite talent. That's the magic that they can do. And I think that's what's going to save the Bruins a little bit here, too. If there were legitimately good teams in the Eastern Conference making this a huge race and it was like, what a race to the finish, kind of like what Detroit and Washington felt like last year a little more, maybe I would feel differently. But it does feel like the up-and-coming teams that are in the postseason picture, I don't know about their longevity just yet, versus the veteran teams who have the elite talent that are going to force their way into the conversation. So I am with you on that. I won't be surprised if they finish just a point in, just a point out, and the same with the Bruins, because of the teams really in the mix, the only one I'm like truly curious, like, wait a second, is there something there? Is there a little bit more juice? His Columbus right now, and right. I love that.
Yeah, and the Rangers are 4-0-2 in the last six, and everything you just stated has been on display in their variety of ways of accumulating points here of late. I think they're very, very, very much poised to get back to where people thought they would. Colorado, on the other hand, and this is where coaching gets tricky, although, you know, quotes come and go and people forget, you know. It's just Jared Bednar was really... really not happy.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you
didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Happy after they won the other night and really talked about it a lot. Like everybody that was there said, you would have never known they won this game based on how he was talking. And then they go out and they blow a 3-0 lead last night against Edmonton. So the Colorado team that we've had to talk about from Buffalo perspective, because of the leads that the Sabres lost against the Avalanche, had the almost the exact same thing happen to them last night, where they blew the 3-0 lead. And Edmonton once again looks like the Edmonton team that went to game 7 of the Stanley Cup final. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. And it's going to be a really interesting stretch for the Avs here, because these are the games you have to get up for, right? Now, first you had the Oilers. Now you have the Stars, the Jets, the Wild. Those are teams that are going to be tough. Those are key points that you need if you want to try to get home ice advantage, right? After that, they have the Bruins and the Rangers. Those should be a walk in the park for them. But these are the games that you need to raise your level for. And it's tough for the Avalanche right now because their winger depth could be a little bit better. And there are some injuries that they have to navigate. And Casey Mittelstadt is down on the fourth line. Mikko Rantanen is playing 2C. If they can make that work and keep that as a solution, that's something like that's going to give them a little bit more oomph in that top six, because, you know, Nathan MacKinnon doesn't need Mikko Rantanen to be Nathan MacKinnon. And the same goes the opposite way. So if you can split them up, that's going to help. But defending those leads is going to be really important because they have the goaltending, they have the stability, but I think that they just need to keep pushing it, because before that game, I looked at it and I'm like, this team, I think with Jared Bednar not being happy with this team, there's no complacency there. And I really like that about the Avs, and they keep wanting to push to be better. And you look at it the year that they won the cup, how many times they were still mixing and matching combinations when they didn't need to, just so they knew the weapons that they had and the potential, you know, players that clicked. I want to see them get back to that. And I think that first they have to, you know, get back on track and then they can get there. But it feels like this is that make or break stretch. I'm not totally worried about them, but if they, you know, it's not like the Canucks going up against these potential playoff teams and you go, well, I don't think you'll beat them in a playoff series. I still think the Avs could, but right. I think they need to see it a little bit more, and this is going to be a really big week for them.
So Duffer mentions the Oilers. They've loaded up Draisaitl, McDavid, Hyman on the top line. Tonight the Sabres play Pittsburgh. We've seen them load up, you know, Crosby, Malkin at times. The Sabres actually, basically last game, were like, okay, who are my guys that are going 5-on-5? I'll put them together. McLeod, Zucker, Thompson, right? They put them together. I know it's halfway in the year and sometimes January is a little blah, but is this the best practice at this time of year to say, let's load up at least one line and hope that everybody else plays even score, but my one line's going to win the game? Like, that's almost what the Oilers are doing and other teams have tried to do over the past.
I think if you're in the Sabres position, you can afford to do that against the Penguins, right? I don't think you can afford to do that against the Avalanche, because you don't want to be losing the three other lines matchups when the other team is that dangerous. But sometimes it's good. Like, put together the guys who are going, get them, you know, they all have a spark, let them gel together. And then the lines that don't have a spark, hopefully they can find one, right? And if it doesn't work, then you break it up and try to separate those three players so maybe each of them can get, you know, someone else going. Mm-hmm. I do think it helps, though, that, like, I think J.J. Paterka has really picked up the pace over the last month. His November and December was really worrisome. And over the last month, you're seeing, you know, him get better at 5-on-5. He has the results. He's shooting the puck more. So that definitely helps. But, yeah, why not have one line that's going, especially against Pittsburgh, to get the game going? Let it, you know, get yourself out in a good position, like, somehow they did against Carolina, just maybe do a little bit better job, you know, securing your win, because that was a little worrisome.
Least surprising development in the NHL this week. The Islanders return home from a perfect road trip to start a 7-game homestand and immediately lose the first two games. What is going to change with the Islanders? And in the West, what is going to change with the Hawks, who've lost 10 of 12?
Nothing is going to change with the Islanders until management does. I wrote this silly little column last season, and I took a lot of flack for it in saying that Lou Lamoriello was not the guy to lead the Islanders because he always does the same thing, and that is go after players that he has experience with from other positions and other teams and stand pat when the team should not stand pat, because they should be, I don't know, actively retooling like a team like the Washington Capitals did. They are betting on a core and not doing anything to put them in a position to succeed. So I expect absolutely nothing to change. I think Patrick Waugh is taking this roster to the heights that he can, and he really helped stabilize their defensive game last year after whatever happened under Lane Lambert. But that's not enough. The roster is not strong enough. The offensive strength of their systems is not strong enough. Everything, like, even if they play at their best, what are you looking at, a round one exit? That's nothing. And the Blackhawks, good luck.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, and by the way, in the Islanders game yesterday, Tsiplikov hit Poehling in the head, and the play was reviewed for a 5-minute major and was not called a penalty on the play. Now Tsiplikov's got a hearing. Shayna, I don't want the referees to face the media after games, but in situations like this, just like we saw a video of, you know, goal or no goals earlier and hits or whatever, should the players, the department player safety, release something about their conversation with the referees? Like, this is going to be a suspension, and it wasn't called a penalty on the play after review? Like, come on.
It's such a good system in place. I love it. I love that you can call something as a major just to have the ability to review it. But how you consistently get it wrong blows my mind. And we've seen it in the postseason, right? What was it? It was Cale Makar with the hit on Jared McCann a couple years ago in the postseason. And that one got a lot of national attention for the right reason, right? Because the system's there and the enforcement is still wrong. That didn't fuck a change. What is going to? I agree that they should have to do something, put out a video and explain why it's not a penalty, but clearly you think something's wrong. I do think referees should be made, maybe one official to the media, something. There should be questions, some sort of feedback, but the videos would really be helpful. I really like that the PWHL is doing them. The problem is if you make those videos and your calls are not consistent to match, which we all know they will not be, there is a paper trail that nobody wants to have. I really have a tin hat on today. I'm sorry. I can't get it off this week.
And for those that are listening on GR instead of watching on MSG, I recommend you watch on MSG so you can see the video. That was like Chris Neal and Chris Drury circa 2007. That was the Tsiplikov hit on Ryan Poehling. As he's trying to shoot, he gets blindsided in the head and never returned to the game. That's what it was. It was a bad hit. It'll be suspended.
Shayna, get some rest. Enjoy your tennis. Enjoy the hockey. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for having me.
Shayna Goldman from The Athletic. It's a game night in Buffalo. We'll wrap up Sabres Live after this.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.